Good evening. This is AJ on Ebbs and Flows podcast. I wanted to start tonight with, first of all, an apology. I haven't been recording episodes in, it's probably been a month or so that I haven't recorded. And the reason for this episode tonight is to explain why it's been so long since I last recorded an episode or did anything positive for my life. Not to be worried or anything, but grief is something that is very weird for me. I think it's weird for a lot of people. I don't think it's just weird for me. But it's something, if you've never experienced it in a great amount, that really just, you don't really know how to handle it when it hits you, when it does. Let me explain that a little bit clearer. So, lately I've lacked motivation to do much of anything. I don't really think it's my depression or anything, because I'm still on my medication and I still take that nightly. But what I do think is that things will come up that I will think about and it'll shock me, or however it is, and I just feel like I can't get out of the rut. Somebody, a close family friend, sent me a podcast by Anderson Cooper where he talks about his grief with others, and it really struck me, the episode that I was listening to, because the guy that he was talking to said that he's never heard of grief taking anybody hostage or not coming to the surface or anything like that. But some days I feel like that. I look at the clock and I can't believe the dates have gone by so quickly. I mean, I am less than a month away from a 1-year anniversary of my dad's passing. At first, when it first happened, I thought, how am I going to go forward? How is this ever going to be the same? How will things work out for me going forward? And what's life going to look like? I can't believe that I'm a month away from this, from the year since this loss. Sure, we've had our challenges, but things have gone right for us, things have gone wrong for us, and when I say us, I mean my mom and I, and our friends and family that are out there with us who love my dad and miss him as well. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't think about him. I think about him every day. I wish some days that I would just get a text message from him that would just be a thumbs up or a okay or a wow or something like that. Something so simple, but yet to bring me back to everything that I've been going through. I wished a friend happy birthday on Facebook the other day on Facebook Messenger. He sent back a thumbs up emoji. In that moment, all I could think of was my dad. I would say the same thing to my dad sometimes. He'd just give me a thumbs up, you know, like it wasn't even a big deal. Or a thanks, or a cool, or a wow. But it brought me back to my dad because I hadn't had somebody who just sent me a thumbs up for regular everyday stuff. I can't believe that it's almost been one full year. Heck, October 20th last year was the day that all this kind of started for us. My dad drove home from, I think, Detroit, because his plane was late and we didn't have any dog coverage late at night. It was a night that my mom was also away and my dad was coming home, and it just got to a point where he thought, you know what, I'm just going to drive home so because I can drive home in 4 hours and whatever. So anyways, his flight did eventually leave. His flight landed basically the same time that he got to the airport. It was crazy, but it was delayed 4 hours, and it was I was at work that night, so I couldn't even be home with the dog or anything. So, but it started for him the night he came home, and the next day his feet were all swollen on the 20th of October, and that's what started all of this. I wrote this piece on my blog the other day, just something that had come to me, the things that I had been feeling, and different things, so I want to read it here, because I wanted to address a couple things in this podcast tonight. First of all, this blog post, where my motivation is, or lack thereof, fact that it's okay to not be motivated sometimes, because that's what grief does to you. It takes you down to your core and makes you not motivated to do the things that you really want to do. That's the depression stage of grief, and that is 100% normal. We're all going to experience that in some way or another. I think my issue was that I waited a whole year to actually start to grieve. I spent more time giving back to my mother, giving back to the dog, giving back to our family and friends, that I didn't grieve for myself. That was my issue. And now that I recognize that and I see that full force, I'm like, okay, that made sense. I realized that I didn't do that. I didn't do that, period. And then the last thing is that some things are better left unsaid, but some things are better left unknown. And I'll get to that at the end of this from a brief little story about another passing that happened in my life shortly after my dad passed. So anyways, let's get on to this post that I wrote the other day. So this is on my blog, adventureswithaj.com, adventureswithaj412.com. You can find this online, whatever. The post was titled, Almost One Full Year. I said, it almost has been a whole year since my father passed away. This past year without my dad has been challenging. In the last year, I lost the job that I had loved, partly due to burnout and trauma that I was enduring at work. I got the opportunity to get into a job I wanted 2 years prior that I was previously denied, and I realized that I'm making an impact in others' lives through my grief. And what I say when I feel like in my grief, the things that I'm experiencing, I'm impacting the people that I meet with. I'm a therapist now. I was a social worker in the emergency department when I started this podcast. Now I'm a mental health therapist at a correctional facility. And it's really just sometimes I think that my grief is able to help others experience the stuff that they're experiencing. My grief is so fresh and real, and some people's grief, it's been 4 or 5 years, but it still feels fresh and real to them because they haven't moved out of the denial stage, which is totally okay because I don't expect any of these stages to go by in a chronological, you know, one day at a time pace for anyone that experiences grief. This past year has been sad, happy, and sometimes meh. Meh meaning I don't have the words to describe it sometimes. Having a loss as terrible as my father's at the age of 29, which he guided me all of my life, was unthinkable. I started to write a memoir on my grief experiences, but thanks to the ebbing and flowing of grief, I've hit a writer's block many times. I have this podcast, but even with this, I hid the blockage of not being able to produce content for it because I lack motivation when grief hits me. I learned very early on from a friend of mine that grief ebbs and flows. Thank you, Gina. If you listen to this, thank you for saying that. That's the motivation with the book title, the motivation with this podcast title, the motivation with basically everything I've gone through in this journey has all been thanks to you saying grief ebbs and flows. I really appreciate that sentiment. I didn't fully understand what that meant then, but almost a year later I do. In the last couple of weeks, I've dreaded the ideas of what's coming. The anniversary is when this whole experience started with my dad knowing something was wrong, October 22nd, 2023, heck, a year ago today. The day that he went to the hospital when he fell outside of his office, November 15th, 2023, and the day that he eventually passed away, November 20th, 2023. Right now, I lack the motivation to do almost anything, but I am pushing myself to do things. It's unhealthy for me to, in my grieving process, to continue to be depressed, but it's also expected. And when I say it's unhealthy, it's also unhealthy for me to lack motivation, which is why I'm still doing things that I need to do. I haven't just cut everything out of my life, but I recognize that there are things that make me happy, there are things that I enjoy that I need to keep doing, but sometimes I don't feel like doing those things. For instance, tonight I was dog sitting for my mom, and I said, well, I guess I'll go home when I leave here. I don't have time to go to the gym. Well, you know what? I ended up going to the gym anyways. I feel great now. I'm a little bit tired, but I feel great. My arms are sore, but I feel like that was a good decision. I could have went home, but I decided to go and do something for myself. For so long after my dad passed, I was commended by family members for being so strong for my mother during the time that I forgot to grieve myself. For the last few weeks, grief has ebbed and flowed for me. And I think that's so truthful because literally, I just, the last couple weeks, whatever it is, I don't have the motivation to do the things that I had the motivation to do in the past. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that feeling is. I don't know why these things happen, and I don't know why I feel the way I do, but I do. I cannot control that. I cannot control the depression, the anger. Heck, I'm still angry. I feel like Leroy Jethro Gibbs on NCIS whenever he just was angry about losing his wife and his daughter forever, basically. He was angry about it the whole entire show. And you know what? That's how I feel. I don't feel angry that he's gone and that this was the best case scenario for him to go in this manner. What I'm angry at is the way that it happened. That it took a month from basically time of feeling unwell to being gone. I'm angry that he was only 64. I'm angry that he's not here to spend time with me. I'm angry that he's not here to go to baseball games with me. I am angry that he's not at work with his coworkers, making their days. I'm angry that he's not at home playing with the dog. I'm angry that he's not golfing with his friends. I'm angry that somebody didn't do something sooner. Not that I think that this all could have been avoided, because it probably couldn't have been, but I'm still angry. And that's 100% okay, and that's normal. I could be going through depression with all the same things. I could be depressed that he's not here, he's not going to baseball games, he's not golfing with his friends, he's not enjoying work with his coworkers. I could be depressed at all of those things, but right now my anger is the thing that is most striking to me. And it's not unhealthy for me to be feeling this way. This is grief. This is normal. This is all things that people go through. People go through things differently in grief, and that's okay. I cried during the funeral, during a song that was played in the last moments of the service, the song Come to Jesus. In the last verses of Come to Jesus, the thing calls Cry to Jesus, and as fitting as it would be, I cried during those moments. I almost broke down during the first sentence of my eulogy, but I figured if I could make the crowd laugh, I had a shot at finishing it without breaking down. At 29, I didn't think I would be eulogizing my father for his accomplishments and remarkable life. Sometimes I would talk to family and friends who say I've written a good eulogy, but that is not what I wanted to be known for. In the last couple of weeks, I found myself crying more about my dad's passing, listening to his voice on old voicemails, reading through old text message conversations, and listening to friends who gave us their condolences and who knew the pain we felt but couldn't imagine losing him either. Yes, so my dad's phone is still on at the moment, and there's a lot of voicemail saved on it. And it's all like people who were just so shell-shocked from the moment that he went to the hospital until literally a few days after he passed away. And it's so sad to me to hear some of these people talk. And even my aunt, who, when my mom called her on November 15th, she didn't pick up, and when she called back and left her a voicemail, it was, like, a very happy voicemail, like, oh, hey, sorry I missed your call, like, you know, give me a call whenever you get this. And it's, to me, like, she didn't know, my mom didn't say on the voicemail why she called, and I don't think my aunt realized that calling her back would change her life forever. And that's kind of how I feel with my uncle's voicemail. Like, I listened to my uncle's voicemail from that day, and he was just like, if you need anything, I'm on the next flight out. I will be there for you as soon as I can. I will be there. I realize that that's family for you. Family does that kind of stuff. Family gets on planes at the last minute for people that they really care about. But at the same time, I still feel angry about that. Not angry that they, you know, came to be with us, but angry that they had to stop living their lives for that. For the reason of a death in the family. In the first conversations I had with my Aunt Susan, one of my dad's sisters, we cried together, reminiscing about memories of him. She talks to him every day and tells him how she misses him. For the first months after my dad passed, anytime someone would ask my mom how she was doing, she too would cry. She reached a point where that didn't affect her anymore, and it became routine. We had to adjust to our new normal. I remember telling my mom while my dad was in the hospital that whatever the outcome was, we would be okay. I miss him every moment of every day, and no one can replace him in my life. There are days when I'm so depressed from his loss that I can't even get out of bed, or I'm so angry from grief that he was taken from us so soon that I have physical and mental exhaustion. And that's how I feel, honestly. Like, that mental and physical exhaustion is how I feel. And it's more so the fact that this is grief and this is normal. I would say the days that I am so depressed that I don't get out of bed are few and far between, because sometimes that's just pure exhaustion on my part for just staying up way too late at night. And that's a self-inflicted wound that I give myself all the time. However, I would say that occasionally there will be a day that I literally just stay in bed all day. And it's more so that my bed's super comfortable and I don't ever want to leave it, but also because the fact that, like, hey, this is a tough thing for me to go through. It's a tough thing for all of us to go through. I'm thankful we have such a fantastic support system around us and that I found it okay to reach out when I need something. I don't reach out as much as I should, but this is still all new to me at 11 months. It feels like just yesterday was the last time I talked to my father. Grief isn't a perfect process, but I'm making it. And that's really important to say as well, because I think I've mentioned in so many of these episodes that I just don't have the motivation to reach out to people, and not because I don't want to, but because I don't want to worry people. And that to me is so real. I feel that so really, truthfully. I feel that so truthfully that to me, I just don't want to worry somebody. Like, I know people that are around me have depression and whatnot, but it's like, I don't want to worry them with my problems. So I sometimes don't reach out to them, but that's not healthy for me. And also, I don't want to worry anybody by making this content. This is my feelings. These are how I feel. And as I've always said from the start of this whole podcast, that yeah, I can write these feelings out and get them out there, but if I have to talk them through, that to me is so much more powerful on my end. The first holidays, my first birthday, my mom's first wedding anniversary without him have already gone. Heck, my first Thanksgiving without him was a few days after he passed. My first birthday was the day after his funeral. Hopefully my birthday's better this year. Knock on wood. Actually, you know what? There's wood in front of me. I'll knock on that. Our first two trips to Steamboat, where my dad loves spending his vacations, have both come and gone. I made it through my first baseball season without him, but he was with me at every game I attended. I wish I'd ever talked to him about Paul Skeens. No one can ever fill the void that my dad left behind, but I have gained so many connections with his old coworkers. Our family has gotten close during this experience. We have overall grown from this last year. Speaking of getting closer to coworkers of his, I'm going out for drinks tomorrow night with a coworker of his that I've started to go for drinks, but kind of lost track of that, and mostly that was because I was leading a Wednesday night hike, but right now, because I don't have the motivation to lead a hike, period, I don't have the motivation for it, which is okay, because this is grief, and this is how I feel, and that's fine. As I wrote in a recent thank you letter to someone, baseball will never be the same without my dad, and neither will the rest of my life on this earth. He was a remarkable man, an accomplished businessman and golfer, and the best father I could have ever been blessed with. He worked hard for my mother and me all of his life, and we are grateful he was in our lives, even as he is no longer physically here. I also wanted to throw out there on the last piece of this episode is that some things are better left unsaid. Or some things that are not known are better left unsaid. That's probably a better way to put that. I was having dinner the other night at the country club while my mother was overseas, and she's back now, but when she was globetrotting again, which is great. I'm glad that she's able to live her life. And I'm glad that when she was overseas, she was with family and, you know, they were keeping her in check, essentially. But when I was getting dinner, it had occurred to me at the bar, I was talking to one of the waitresses, one of our favorite waitresses. Her name's Lori. Really, really great person. Really, really nice and really kind. And she told me the story about how my dad's friend Tom, who we lost 6 weeks after my dad, had said to her in the 19th hole, which is where the golfers will sit to get drunk after they're done golfing, but she said that he had a rule that he never drank with my dad in the 19th hole because he knew that he had to work in 24 hours. So he never had alcohol. But during my dad's luncheon, he had alcohol that day. After the funeral and everything, he was sitting in the 19th hole with Lori and they were reminiscing about my dad. And Tom had said to her that he was going to be the one to protect me. He was going to be the one that had to be there for me and who would guide me through life. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew that Tom would have been there for me. I knew that Tom was going to, after my dad passed, he said, "You've gained a lot of fathers in this experience." But I didn't know Tom said that. And it breaks my heart that he's not here to do that. His loss, I knew my dad's loss was coming just because of the reality of the situation. Cardiac arrest, unsure how long he had been down for. A lot of variables that we didn't know. But with Tom, one day he was here and the next day he wasn't. I've gained a really solid friendship through Tom's passing and my dad's. This guy named Mike, who was friends with both my dad and Tom in high school. And when we were talking the other day, we went for lunch, and Mike had said that one of the things that he regrets from all of this is not texting my dad and talking to him about the diagnosis or anything like that until they knew more. But he never got that chance. It was that night was the 14th, probably the 13th of November, Monday Night Football. They were talking, they were BSing about some stuff, and he never got that chance. Much like I didn't get the chance to go to dinner with my dad that one night because I blew him off for friends. Much like I never got to tell Tom that if he needed something, that I was there for him. Just like he would have been there for me. I know that if he wanted to tell me how he was feeling with everything, he would have. But he probably didn't want to put the weight of the world on me, like the weight of the world was already on me. I was looking through messages of his on the computer the other day, like I normally do when I sit in my dad's office and cry, and I just remember him seeing, checking up on my mom and basically saying how much he misses him, misses my dad. I never really got that chance. I mean, one time we did go to the house to watch football. I started to watch football with him. But it's like nothing will ever. I can't go back to that. Because he's not here either. And in all this time, I think that I took his loss worse than I took my dad's. Not because I think less of that or anything, but the magnitude of my dad's was huge. But like I said, I had 6 days in the hospital to be with my dad, to spend time with him before he passed. With Tom, one moment he was there, and the next moment he wasn't. I realized that they're best friends for 50 years and that they couldn't be without each other. I get that. And that's so much evidenced by how closely these two deaths are to each other. But at the same time, it still hurts just the same. I think over the last year, I've gone through unthinkable losses. My dad, Uncle Tom, a job that I loved, friends at that job that I had, but we're kind of surface level friends, like nurses and stuff that I don't really talk to anymore. We're still Facebook friends and everything like that, but we don't really talk. I mean, I still have my social worker friends that I still talk to, but other than that, I don't talk to like a whole lot of people. There were some traumas that came with that job that obviously I'm not going to get out of my head anytime soon. There's things that I had to do. There was cardiac arrest nearly once a week, where I got to see the same thing that a social worker sees anytime they work in the ER. It's an exhilarating environment for sure, but at the same time, when you have experienced unthinkable losses, it is not an environment to be in. And I tried to advocate for myself to get out of that position, and it just never worked. I asked to get out of that position in February, and I was still working that position in May. For whatever reason, I just couldn't be moved like I wanted to. But this new job that I currently work, I work Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and have my holidays off, my weekends off. I have a boss that's very supportive and very, very, very kind. And I don't feel like I'm being treated differently than other people, for instance, because I felt that way at my last job. Not enough for the whole discrimination aspect of it, but enough to be like, hey, this isn't right and this needs to be fixed. So, anyways, grief is hard. Something we're all going to experience, whether it's a loss of job, a breakup, a death in the family, whatever it is, we're all going to experience it someday. But whatever way you choose to grieve is okay. It's healthy that you know your limits, what you can handle and what you can't. And it's totally okay if you need to take a step back from things that you do in life. And like I've written before, my good friend Drake, mean, great guy. He's an emergency room physician, one of the strongest guys I know, mentally and physically. He told me, AJ, when I lost my father, that I didn't take enough time to myself. I mean, I played a lot of video games, I took a lot of naps, but I didn't take nearly enough time that I needed to. I hope someday to get great on this podcast so that we can talk about grief together, but as he said in the past, he's not ready for that aspect of it. And that's understandable because there's no set timetable to be ready for something like this. There's no set timetable to engage in healing from something like this. But anyways, thank you for listening. We'll try to get these out there maybe once every 2 weeks or something like that so we can keep this going. Thanks for listening. This is AJ from Ebbs and Flows, signing off.